Good morning. This is Birdie reading the commercial news for Thursday, August 20th, 2020. New casino plans laid out by Jennifer Bailey, Danville. After having the wool pulled over our eyes in a couple of occasions with the previously chosen casino operating partner, Haven Gaming, one Danville City Council alderman said Tuesday night he feels strongly that the Wilmot family will come through with the casino to successfully bring jobs and revenue to the community. Ward Alderman Mike Pure, who was a casino selection committee member, said former promises weren't fulfilled. City officials have been meeting with family representatives with Wilmorite Construction of Rochester, New York, for several months, and he's been impressed with their family beliefs and the way they have worked together. The Danville City Council Tuesday night voted 12-0 for Wilmorite Construction to file a new casino application with the Illinois Gaming Board as Danville Development, LLC. Alderman Dan Duchion and R.J. Davis were absent for the vote. Haven Gaming would no longer be part of the casino license application. Wilmorite has chosen Phase 1 development to occur at 204 Eastgate Drive to include 500 slots, 10 tables, a steakhouse, and food court. The site is the former Morris Flamingo Warehouse location on the north side of Interstate 74. The Danville Casino Project site has been identified as the 204 Eastgate Drive. That site is limited to 9 acres. To get a full build-out or future phase, we need additional acreage. The triggers that require the Danville Casino Project to move to the second and third phase are clearly identified in the most host community agreement that was negotiated with the city and summarized in the presentation Tuesday night. There will also be included in our licensing application to further hold the Danville development team accountable. No other sites have been identified at this time. We are focusing on the project as it stands today and couldn't be more excited to bring a well-thought-out plan that maximizes the benefits to local community to the city of Danville. Jimmy Wilmot, Vice President of Gaming for Wilmorite, stated on Wednesday through an email. 2 years after opening Phase 1, if they generate $80 million of gross gaming revenue, GGR, and 30-plus million of annual revenue after taxes paid, earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization, then Wilmorite will commit to investing $20 million to $60 million in additional capital to the project. Another 2 years after opening Phase 2 of the resort casino, if Wilmorite generates $100 million of GGR, and 40-plus million of annual revenue after taxes, they will commit to investing an additional 40 to 100 million of capital into the project. The investment will be a mix of the following amenities. Move the project to a location along I-74. Additional dining outlets, including buffet and cafe. Additional gaming floor, increasing slots and table position, hotel / overnight accommodations, and meeting and entertainment space. If at any point during a 12-month rolling calendar, the project generates $130 million and $50 million in EBITDA, then they will immediately start planning and expedite the moving process to a location along I-74. The city would receive 8% of the EBITDA, which is double the original commitment for a casino of 4%, which could be upwards of $6 million. Wilmorite also is paying the city's $600,000 portion of sewer improvements to expand capacity north of the interstate. The council also heard from another gaming development representative, Joseph Uram, who said if there is no downside to the city submitting multiple casino license application proposals to the IGB. He said the city will lose millions of dollars if the sole applicant isn't approved. His company also favored a casino site north of the interstate off the Lynch Road exit. Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. said Wilma Wright has the character and resources to complete the project, and this is the greatest thing to happen economically in decades for us. Tom Wilmot Sr., chairman of the board for Wilma Wright, and Jimmy Wilmot talked to the city council about the third generation family business. They started with residential homes in the 1940s, moved to commercial construction, including malls, in the 1970s and 1980s, and built its first casino, First Council Casino, in Oklahoma in 2008. It also built a Harrah's Casino in 2019 in California and Del Lago Casino in upstate New York in 2019. Wilma Wright reportedly sold his 50% stake in Del Largo Resort Casino. The casino was not meeting revenue projections given to the state. Wilma Wright is planning to work with KDG Architect and Design from St. Louis on the casino. KDG has worked on several casinos and hotel projects, including the Casino Queen in East St. Louis and Argosy Alton in Alton. Wilma Wright representatives said the benefit of starting at 204 Eastgate Drive include parcel is predominantly level and has all public utilities and municipal services available. Reduction in construction schedule by about 3 to 6 months. Any potential schedule impacts related to weather will be mitigated with the structure. Can be expanded sooner if market demands it, with about 20,000 square feet of space of the existing structure being reserved for meeting, multiple purpose, additional dining, and gaming space. The expanding sooner means more construction jobs, operating jobs, and revenue to the city and state. This will be a unique new casino, Jimmy Wilmot said, also talking about the proposed Abe's Steakhouse, indoor and outdoor dining, fire pits, and other phase amenities. Year one revenue forecasts show total revenues at $70 million, minus expenses it would be about $28 million, and $6.2 million to the city. And by year 10, it shows $91 million, minus expenses. It would be almost $36 million in revenue and $8 million to Danville. Community benefits to Danville still include $3 million in upfront payments at licensing award from IGB, $1 million each to Riverfront Development Project, Boys and Girls Club, and in municipal improvements. There also would be $300,000 in annual non-gaming related benefits. Wilma Wright representatives said there would be up to 600 construction jobs, up to 600 permanent jobs. Filling those jobs, 40% women, 30% minority, and 5% veterans. And 50% of the annual procurement of supplies from Vermilion County, 15% women-owned, 15% minority-owned, and 5% veteran-owned businesses. Jimmy Wilmot said they don't live up to part of the agreement, they'll lose their license. This will be a destination, said Vermilion Advantage, Tanisha Spain. Ward 7 Alderman Bob Iverson asked about Wilma Wright's accountability when Haven wasn't. Jimmy Wilmot said the city has the accountability of one company to get this done and make it a reality. Ward 4 Alderwoman Sharon McMahon said she likes the idea of using an existing property. I think you are going to be very successful. I wish you good luck, she said. The next step will be the September 3rd Danville Area Planning and Zoning Commission meeting, where there will be a request to rezone 204 Eastgate Drive from 1-2 Light Industrial to B3 General Business Zoning. School Signups, District 118 Hopes for Better Turnout, by Carol Rome, Danville. Danville District 118 parents will have one last opportunity today to register their students in person for the new school year during a registration event at Liberty Elementary School, 20 East Liberty Lane. The registration will be open from 2 to 6 p.m. today for pre-kindergarten through 12th grade students who are either returning or are new to the district. During the first day of in-person registration on Wednesday, about 50 parents of students who will be returning to the district, at least 10 of those parents had multiple students in the district, registered their children with the help of District 118 staff and laptop computers. The staff members will sit with the parents at the computer, and everything is washed down afterwards. Assistant Superintendent for Secondary Education, Beth Jacoby, said. Taling Miller registered her daughter, who will be entering pre-kindergarten, and her son, who will be entering 8th grade. Miller said the registration process was fast and easy. "Such a wonderful help," Miller said, referring to Assistant Director of Special Education, Lindsay Nixon, who was one of the several District 118 employees helping at Wednesday's event. "Actually, it was really fast," Miller said of the process. Nixon said she had hoped more parents would have attended Wednesday's event. "Its turnout's been consistent, but we can't compare it to centralized registration where they can meet the staff," Nixon said of past registration events. Nixon also helped Tanisha Henderson register her 8-year-old son for school. When asked to choose between in-person learning and all remote learning, Henderson said the choice was clear. "He won't do it at home," she said. "He'll be on YouTube all the time." Jacoby said she hopes for a better turnout at today's registration event. As of late Wednesday morning, only 3,100 of the district's 5,400 students had registered, which is about 50% of the district's enrollment. "The buildings have been calling parents and checking in," Jacoby said. "We will need to start planning classes. Parents and guardians that need to register new students to the district should pick up a paper registration packet at the Dr. David L. Fields Administrative Service Center at 110 East William Street prior to the registration event. The packet and supporting documentation must be completed in its entirety and brought to the Liberty Elementary School during the registration event for students to consider registered. Parents of new students to the district may drop off the completed packets. Returning students do not need to fill out a packet. Registration packets also will be available at the event, but if parents can complete the packet before arriving at the registration event, it will expedite the process, Jacoby said. "They can't fill out the packet here, but they can bring it home," she said. "In addition, parents must bring copies for the district of all required documentation, including birth certificates, driver's license, and residency information. Parents must make these copies before they come to today's registration event. Families that need to register returning students will be given their username and password for the Skyward Family Access Portal and will log in on a computer at the event to register their students. Parents of returning students also may register online at home. For login information, please call 444-1583. The following COVID-19 safety measures will be in place at today's registration. Only the parent or guardian may come to register. No children or other family members will be allowed. All persons attending must wear a mask. All persons will have their temperature checked, and strict social distancing measures will be in place at all times. No one will be allowed to fill out paperwork inside Liberty Elementary School. If parents pick up a packet today, they will be asked to fill it out in their vehicle. The number of persons inside Liberty Elementary will be restricted and monitored per Illinois Department of Public Health rules. Long lines are possible. Further registration information is available on the District 118 website at www.danville118.org. City Planning for Ameren Move by Jennifer Bailey, Danville. The city will have to start budgeting for approximately $80,000 annual expense when Ameren Illinois moves from the city's public works facility on East Voorhees Street. Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. reported at Tuesday night's Danville City Council meeting that Ameren has only still given unofficial notice that they are moving to the former Budweiser building in Tilton. Williams said Ameren plans to honor its lease through the end of the term. This means the city won't have to budget for the building's power bills for another year and a half. The city currently doesn't pay its utility bills at the Public Works facility, 1155 East Voorhees Street, under its agreement with Ameren. Ameren was leasing back a portion of the space for 15 years. The city pays no gas or electric bills for the building during that time. In other business, the City Council approved semi-annual and final subdivision plats for GMX Danville Subdivision on the lot in front of Meyer on North Vermilion Street. A petition to rezone 1022 North Michigan Avenue from 1 to 2 light industrial to R2 residential medium density zoning, accepted transfer of part of 210 Walnut Street from Alderman Aaron Togelia for a downtown parking lot project, authorized the purchase for 515 Harmon Street for $850 from the Vermilion County Trustee for the William Street Realignment Project, a $667,891 contract with Cross Construction Incorporated for the city's 2020 overlay program, and submission of an application for the 2020 Edward Brin Memorial Justice Assistance Grant, JAG. The total amount applied is $36,101, with the city portion $20,217, and the Vermilion County portion $15,884. Alderman also heard how city revenue are better than projected right now due to cannabis tax revenue, and no casino revenue this year means the city won't be able to make extra pension payments or pay down loans faster, such as on fire trucks. And here are the obituaries for August 20th. Geraldine Arnett. Geraldine Jerry Arnett, 92, of Danville, passed away on Saturday, August 15th, 2020, at North Logan Healthcare in Danville. A private family service will be held at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville, Illinois, 3940 North Vermilion Street, Danville, Illinois. Any condolences may be sent to 213 South Stewart Street, Danville, Illinois. Martha Jane Pyson Milliken, Danville. Martha Jane Pyson Milliken, 94, of Emporia, Kansas, formerly of Danville, passed away at Newman Regional Hospital in Emporia, Kansas on August 12, 2020. A private family celebration of life will be held at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville, 3940 North Vermilion Street, Danville, Illinois. Burial will be in Sunset Memorial Park, Danville. Lula Mae Powell. Lula Mae Powell, 93, of Tilton, passed away on Monday, August 17th, 2020, surrounded by her family at her home. Visitation will be from 4 to 6 p.m. on Friday, August 21st, 2020, at Kruger Cohen Pape Funeral Home, 10 East William Street in Danville, with social distancing and IDPH guidelines being followed. Private family services will take place at a later time, with burial at Atherton Cemetery next to her husband, Kelly. Ariel T. Williams, Danville. Ambrail T. Williams of Danville passed away at 11 a.m. Friday, August 14th, 2020 in Chicago. Roarvet Funeral Service and Cremation is assisting the family. Carol Louise Livingston, Hoopston. Carol Louise Livingston, 80, passed away at 3:46 p.m. Monday, August 17th, 2020 at Heritage Health Therapy and Senior Living in Hoopston. Graveside services are 11:30 a.m. Friday, August 21st, 2020 at Floral Hill Cemetery in Hoopston. Anderson Funeral Home in Hoopston is handling the arrangements. Community Briefs, Danville, Caddyshack to Air. The Fisher Theater will present Caddyshack, its last outdoor movie for the year, on Saturday. Gates open at 8:30 and the film starts at 9 p.m. The comedy will be shown on a huge screen in Palace Park. You may reserve an inflatable couch that fits three people for $30, or bring your own blanket or lawn chair for $5 a head. To reserve a seat, go to https://www.signupgenius.com/. Hoopston. Farmers Market Set. Holly Hollywell, a Christian pop singer, will perform from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. Friday at the Farmers Market. The market is located outside at the 112 Wine and Coffee Shop, 112 East Main. The market features farmers, artists, and craftspeople from 5 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. Vetersburg, Indiana, Executive Session. The Southeast Fountain School Corporation Board of Trustees will hold an executive session at 5 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time Friday in the administration office to discuss employee work performance. Catlin, Book Sale. The Catlin Public Library is having a used book sale through August 31st. Hardbacks and paperbacks, nonfiction, children's books, and DVDs are all available for a donation. The library is not accepting donations of used books or DVDs at this time. Call 427-2550 or check its Facebook page. Hoopston Creates Chicken Ordinance by Carol Hicks, Hoopston. Alderman Carl Ackenbrand presented a tentative amendment to the Title VI Animals Ordinance 6.04.010 at Tuesday's meeting. This ordinance restricts certain animals anywhere in the city of Hoopston, such as cattle, goats, and chickens. There have been several residents that have requested the city allow chickens inside the city limits over the years. The council decided to take another look at the possibility when Animal Control Officer Sherry Clem brought the matter before the council recently regarding one family that does have chickens and how to handle the situation. Over the next several months, the council discussed the pros and cons of allowing chickens with restriction to licensing up to 6 hens, no roosters, inside the city limits. After looking at other communities and how the chicken situation was dealt with, the city decided to add to the city's ordinance to allow the chickens. The tentative ordinance would delete chickens from 6.04.010 and add a new section dealing strictly with chickens. The new section would lay out the guidelines for licensed chicken coops, restrictions, runs where coops are allowed, inspections, number of chickens, care and feeding, cost of licensing, and penalties for non-compliance. A coop license fee would be $50 per year. The new tentative ordinance can be viewed on the city webpage and will be on the agenda at the next meeting on Tuesday, September 1st at 7 p.m. In other business, the jet truck wand broke and had to be repaired. Alderman Lordine Florek said a shield will be added to protect the wand and will be again under warranty. She added that she would like to extend the splash pad season, keeping it open as long as it's hot and the kids are using it. There will be no garbage drop off on Labor Day weekend, Saturday, September 5th, due to the holiday. It was brought to the attention that homeless persons are living in some of the empty buildings in the 200 block of South Market. It's an issue that needs to be addressed before another building comes down, according to Alderman Robin Lawson. Mayor Bill Quisenberry said he is looking into a vacant building ordinance, rental registration, and an ordinance that Tilton has had ownership responsibility of vacant property. He added that he met with Mike Davis, Champaign Land Bank, who is working on a $200,000 grant to take down 20 dilapidated houses in the next 3 years in Hoopston. The grant is for residential homes only and not for commercial buildings. Lawson is reviewing a problem on 9th Street and Young Avenue that is causing difficulties for the neighbors. A forest is grown in a fenced-in backyard of the person who owns the property, and animals of all descriptions are causing problems with Verizon reception of internet, phone service, and causing other property damage to neighbors. Jerry Hopkins, who lives east of the property in question, said that Terminex said, as long as that forest is over there across the alley, you are going to have problems with animals. Frontier temporarily fixed the internet phone problem, but added it was only a temporary fix. Learned a gentleman from Michigan bought the downtown motel and was requesting the city recommend a building inspector. Learned Buzz Bar owner was issued a citation and is scheduled to be in court in September about his building, which burned beyond repair last year. The owner of the building in the 200 block of South Market that collapsed on July 31st has passed away of his injuries. Quisenberry said the city is basically going to push in the walls and no other walls will collapse. The Thompson Avenue project had a setback, according to Quisenberry. Tom Cowan, project engineer, said that Cummings engineer backed out of a verbal agreement to work partners with Donnie, who on the project. Donnie will have to file a request for qualification to advertise for an engineer to bid for the project. And this is Birdie signing off for the commercial news on Thursday, August 20th, 2020. Have a good day.